Right now it is time for Appraise This with Tim Luke and Greg Strom, the appraisal guys, the frick and frack of Nick and Knack. You'll find them at tqag.com and right here on Robin Hood Radio. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, good morning.
So how are things in sunny Florida?
Well, it is chilly here. It's 48 degrees.
Yeah. I was told that this morning by somebody. I had posted, of course, that we most places receive 20 inches of snow around here again.
Yeah, I know. I saw that. I just can't.
It's hard to believe. Well, it's been a strange winter. We've had some bitter cold areas. We've had some really nice warm areas, and we've only really had four snow events. Two happened to be 20 inches apiece, and the other two were 5 inches and 4 inches. So our norm for the year is somewhere between 53 and 57 inches of snowfall. Well, we're almost there, and we've only had a couple of events, and there's the possibility of next Sunday into Monday another event. So
another one?
Yeah, wow. And then it's going to turn bitter cold. As a cold to cold. To me, you know. What the heck? But anyways, enough of the weather forecast. Enough. We're done with it because we're still expecting another couple of inches of snow today. So,
but anyway. Well, you know, it is. Let's face it. You're just in the middle of winter. It is just February the 2nd. Happy Groundhog Day, by the way.
Well, obviously the groundhog's not going to see his shadow. So we have a long winter. There you go. If the groundhog sees his shadow, it's only because of TV lights.
Right.
Not from the sun, I can tell you that.
Not from the sun, that's right. Well, haven't we lived Groundhog Day for the last almost a year?
Oh, God. It's been, you know, we all thought that 2021 would start off better, but I don't know. We've had some a terrible string of events up here. But well, let's get away from that.
We're moving forward.
I want to know.
Things are going well.
Groundhog Day, the movie, which I think is really one of the best comedy chick flick movies, but it's just a great movie. everything works in it. The memorabilia for that movie, if you have anything, must be worth something, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I think that there have been some costumes and some props and things that have come up at Julian's. You know, it's those fan favorites, cult films, iconic status. All of those things play into why people collect this type of memorabilia. And, you know, I'm sure that if you look on eBay or some of the other platforms, the online platforms, you'll probably see other programs and things from maybe the premiere. So, and signed just a bunch of different things. So it really runs the gambit of what is available and what is out there. But yeah, you know, it's funny. Some things people go crazy for, other things you think that are going to, that's going to be a big hit and that people are going to run after, and it just dies on the vine. So, you know, that's the thing about what we do and monitoring the marketplace is being able to help people understand what is going on in the marketplace. That's a couple of things that I'm working on with some of these virtual appraisals that I'm doing is that a number of clients, they may have had appraisals 20 years ago, and now they're coming to me and saying, well, I don't know, where's the market? Is it up? Is it down? Has it changed? And I said, well, you know, that's a good question. We have to really look at the marketplace and see where things are, because things have changed. You know, who would have known 10 years ago that Sotheby's would be like cornering the market on vintage sneakers and selling them, or Heritage would be doing all of these video games and like all of these pop culture things that have really come into the marketplace. It's anybody's guess where the next big thing is going to be.
Now I'm going to ask I'm going to ask you anyways, but do when movies are made, when plays are made, anything to do with entertainment, do the people that are funding it include in the possibility of future revenues from collectibles?
I'm sure after the Star Wars phenomenon happened, that's part of the negotiation right from the get-go, because that you hear people talking about, somebody who is starring in, let's say, let's just use Groundhog Day, for example. I don't know whether this happened or not, but we also have to think about another line. We also have to think about merchandise, because the merch is what actually helps promote the movie as well. So what ends up happening is Star Wars was probably the first movie that really took advantage of using the merchandise as a major marketing tool to get people, generations, to follow the franchise. And I don't think it's any different. I can think of all kinds of
a lot of the Marvel movies.
Yes.
Well, Marvel, they've got it down pat. Because they tie everything together. One of the amazing things. All that first string of movies, the last 20 movies, from Thor to one, they all tie together. Gardens of, and they just get, and because it's Stan Lee and his comic books, wow. I mean, they just know how to do it.
It all goes together, but you're not really getting any kind of Sophie's Choice figurines. There are certain movies that I think go without saying is that, no, they're not doing, a Sophie's Choice t-shirt, it's so I think it really depends on the film. It depends on the studio. It depends on the characters and what's going on, because that really is what will drive and be a motivating force, I think, for the marketing.
The one thing you also have to remember is, if you remember when the Star Wars figures first came out, they just went gangbusters, and
they still are.
But I'm not sure whether they really pinned the success of their movie on their merchandising, but that was part of it.
It was part of it. But Greg, right now,
the thing is, you have to understand that now that has happened for all of the, like the Marvel characters, all of those, there are so many hundreds of thousands of those out there that and you've heard us talk about what is a collectible. It's desirability. It's the scarcity of something, what drives the price,
right?
These are all things that, yes, they are, they do have memorabilia, yes, they do have value, but they don't have the same cachet as the original Star Wars figures might still have,
right?
And
there's
a
desirability, but we were just Hyneman was just sent a collection of their contemporary. They're calling them master reproductions, and their lightsabers and their all the vehicles and things from Star Wars. And they were done probably 10 years ago, and they were done in a limited quantity. So they're not mass producing these. And they're, of course, keeping them mint in the box. And of course, this gentleman had a bunch of them. He had 20 of them and said, "Oh, I'm ready to sell these." And we just thought, well, okay, but are you ready to also, they may sell anywhere from $200 to $1,000, but in order to do that, and this is the difference between merchandise and memorabilia, is memorabilia would be like, yeah, we'll take it in a minute if it's right from the film. But merchandise, there's a selling strategy that goes along with it. And you'd have to estimate that at $75 to $150 and see where it goes, because you got to draw people in. And if it doesn't sell, you've got to be willing to let it go for $75. And I don't know how much money he had into it, but I said, think about it. Here it is. Let's just see, and we'll put that out there. So I think you're also seeing a more sophisticated merchandising plan that's going into effect for some of these things that have been out there for a while, like the Star Wars line, like even the Disney. And they're just tearing a page out of Disney. But, well, no, they're not tearing a page. They're part of Disney. because that whole Star Wars franchise is now part of Disney. So they're producing things in smaller quantities. They're, you know, really trying to push things out there so that people will buy these things. And what is the longevity? Hard to say. You know, it might be a fad now because it's very popular. But look at all of these Disney television and what they're doing with Mandalorian and all these series and all. If you type in what's upcoming for the Star Wars saga, you will get over a dozen things that are in production that are coming out in the next couple of years. So they are really keeping this whole franchise alive and well.
Well, here's my discerning mind and where I don't trust any of these companies. Star Wars, remember when they're releasing, Return of the Revenge of the, they announced before, oh, we made a mistake with the posters. It shouldn't be Revenge. It's got to be Return. So now all the posters that went out that had Revenge on it, people were trying to do anything to get them.
Yep.
And I just think that was a planned mistake.
Well, it could have been. And, you know, so no conspiracy. This is a conspiracy-free zone. So let's say that it could have been just a mistake, just like that $20 bill that had the banana sticker on it, that there was just something that happened. But when you have an anomaly like that, and it could have been like the memo, they just didn't get the memo. Change it to Revenge, to Return instead of Revenge. And the printer just went through. I mean, you know, that things like that do happen. But it does generate a lot of buzz because not only are people clamoring for the poster, they can't wait now to see the movie.
I think it's
brilliant. I think it's a brilliant strategy, but, you know, they're never going to admit that that was on purpose.
Well, I know, but that's exactly right.
I think you're wise to have a slight, shall we say, distrust for some of these things, because, you know, they,
well, for big business. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's be frank here. It's all about making money. So if somebody has to make a mistake intentionally in order to make something to drive a market up, it's not unusual that they would do that. And and it's been done over the years. So, it's going to continue.
I can just see somebody in the printing plant making the mistake and saying, I'm going to pull about five or six of these aside. And in about a year.
Well, you know, the one thing that we always joke about, and it's some of these things are so outlandish and so bizarre, you wonder what the pitch meeting was for, like, trying to come up with some of this Yeah, this is really going to sell. This is really going to be a big, big, big item.
Yeah,
And it just kind of like lays there. So I think a lot of memorabilia collecting also depends on mistakes where they're legitimate marketing errors that end up being, you know, one-offs or something that do eventually have a little bit more value because of their desirability. But I do believe that there are honestly people in the marketing industry for these franchises that if something
are coming up with these ideas.
Yeah, they're anything to make a buck.
Now,
I just wanted to add real quickly is that for the actors that are on the set, let's say for George Lucas film when he was doing all of the Star Wars and all of the stuff, whatever he did, they had to sign a waiver that they would not take the costumes home, that they did, that they were responsible for returning all of these things. And that's why, and that also, so when you think about that, when anything comes up from any of these films, it's because they have never really left the studio. It belongs to the studio. The actors don't get to take these things home. So, you know, and if you go to Skywalker Ranch, I mean, he has a wonderful exhibit of all the original props and costumes from all of the early movies.
And, you know, I'll just go back to the release of the original Star Wars. You look at all the interviews with all the actors that were in that, And they didn't think at all that this was going to be. They just thought, what the hell are we doing here? But they didn't think that it would become something that now will last hundreds of years. I mean, it's already a phenom, they got 40 years under their belt already, and it's. I just find those things amazing, and like I said, with all the mistakes I made in my life, I wish I was a little famous because I could make a lot of money.
Well, look at Mark Hamill appearing on Big Bang Theory and being, you know, like idolized and just for the same character that, you know, that he's done. And these
how about the commercials
or something?
I have to say, those commercials are great.
They're great. I love them.
They have Mark Hamill and what's his name in it.
Stewart.
They're just they come on and I wait for Picard.
I mean, that is it's great. It's Star Wars, Star Trek. You know, Star
Trek. I am my daddy.
Right. What did you say? Yeah. I mean, so to be able to that is when it has just permeated the popular culture, and that it just continues to grow. Because it plays to the adults, it plays to the kids that have also seen this and know about it. So that's when you have a franchise, and that's when you have a collectible that is really, you know, going to keep growing.
Well, I see.
Don't you have a superhero doll didn't somebody make a superhero doll of you?
Now I say this, and I've mentioned it to you guys before. When I was a kid, I sent away, and my father didn't know about it because he would have killed me, but my mother let me do it. I sent her away for anything, the Fantastic Four. Remember that big, big orange, ugly guy in the Fantastic Four?
Yep.
Anything that had to do with him, I had. And you know what? If I probably had it today, it might be worth something. But that was my. But then I did get into the Stan Lee type of thing. And let me put it this way. If I had money and it would say the Iron Man helmet came up, one of the Iron Man helmets came out,
yep,
I would be there bidding on it. If from Guardians of the Galaxy, if anything came up from that, I would be bidding on it. Because I didn't just rent those movies. I purchased the whole kit and caboodle, just like anything to do with Godzilla. So I'm capable of doing that too. But I just there's a, just a healthy amount of distrust that goes in with me with these things.
I understand. And sometimes it's a mistake is just a mistake.
You know, I look at paintings and I look at automobiles, and they're straightforward. And yeah, if it's a different type of auction, but everything else is I lower one eyelid and lift another one up. But
it's a healthy skepticism. That's what we like to say.
And that's why we need folks like you out there policing it for us.
Correct.
So we don't get duped.
The dream crusher to the bottom and the grand leveler.
Yes, dream crusher, grand leveler. Here we are.
All right, guys. I want you to enjoy the cold weather.
You too. Be well. Be safe up there too.
All right. We'll speak to you next week.
Sounds good. Take care, guys. Buddy.
Tim, Luke, and Greg Strom, the appraisal guys, the frickin' frack of Nick and Knack with Appraise This here on Robin Hood Radio.